and welcome. It's our number two of our radio program in the podcast format. Back to the well we go one more time. Basketball, not the Clippers this hour. It's about the Eastern Conference, and we play the blame game. Who is to blame for the 76ers blowing a 26-point lead at home to Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks? A Doc Rivers coached game. Need I say more? A deep dive, a breakdown of the Sixers collapse right now. Here it is, our number two. Doctor, give me the news. You suck. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we provide nuggets of wisdom coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness. I got to turn the lights down in here, though. It's too bright. Bad job by me. The Fox Sports Radio studios. Hope all is well with you. In the Western Conference, the Clippers, without the great Kawhi Leonard, beat the Utah Jazz. They're one win away from the NBA's Final Four. Seemed like a given that Philadelphia would be there in the East. At home, everything going their way. Oh, what a night it was. Eastern Conference semifinals there, Sixers and Hawks, pivotal game five. Philadelphia is where we go here. They were high-stepping, monster-mashing, 26-point lead at home. And then it vanished into thin air. It went away. Where did it go? Why didn't they win? They had all the momentum. I keep hearing momentum's all that. They had all Uncle Mo on their side. They had this big lead. Uncle Mo in Brooklyn. They had the big lead, and they gave it all away. Presto! Abracadabra, said Trae Young. 39 points, but it was other guys. It was Mo, Chicken Wing Williams there. The honey pepper chicken wings there, knock it down, a bunch of big shots. Danilo Gallinari made some plays as well for the Atlanta Hawks. They stormed back all the way back from 26 points down, and they beat the Sixers. They took their lunch money, 109-106, and so it is Atlanta's NBA team, the Hawks, who have a 3-2 lead in the Eastern Conference semis. They are now one win away from punching their ticket to the conference finals. And finally, things are lining up for Nate McMillan, the much maligned Nate McMillan, the coach in Atlanta. You look around, you know, Nate McMillan, great regular season coach, team's overachieved, but in the playoffs didn't work out. Well, he finally met his equal in Doc Rivers here in the second round. He did beat the Knicks, but that was the Knicks, you know, just happy to be in the playoffs, that kind of thing. But my goodness, one win away from punching their ticket, the Atlanta Hawks. A one-man band with Trae Young, and they are a win away. And all those people, that if Atlanta finishes this, and it's still, boy, you'd still see a scenario they don't. But with Doc Rivers, oh my God, how do you not, if you're Atlanta, win this thing in six games? But the Hawks' comeback was historic. It's one of the top three comebacks in NBA postseason history. That being said, the better story, I'll be consistent. I said the better story is in the Jazz locker room in the West. Better story is in the Sixers locker room in the East. A lot of finger pointing, a lot of this guy sucks, that guy sucks, this guy blows, the whole thing. So the question is this, as we discuss, who do you blame? Who gets the biggest part of the blame pie for the 76ers nosedive in game number five? Now, the answer here is Doctor. That's the answer. But I've got Waterboy, Psychic Hotline, and Orville Redenbacher. And we will combine those things together into a marginal Maller monologue. So that is what we will do. Now, first of all, it was tremendously enjoyable. And I had no skin in the game. I'm not a Hawks guy. I'm not a Sixers guy, obviously. But to watch Doc Rivers go nuclear reactor 3 to see him go full Chernobyl and watch his team implode and it not being the Clippers, that it's really is Doc. It's not, you know, people talk about the Clipper curse. No, it's the Doc Rivers curse. It's the Doc Rivers curse. It was extra frosting on the cake. And by the time the night was done, I almost drowned in Schadenfreude. I did. I almost died. I just committed it. Lights out. Game over. See you later. That's it.
Schadenfreude. People taking pleasure in your pain.
In a previous episode of this show, after the Hawks had come back to beat the Sixers in a game Philadelphia had been leading at halftime and looked pretty good in that game, the game was back in Georgia, we had pointed out that I saw the look in the eyes of Doc Rivers. I've seen it up close and personal before. I've seen it. It happened again. He dropped it, just like I dropped that. He dropped it. Now, what is it? The game. Like, you see, Doc, it's a paint-by-numbers situation. You build up a big lead. You take your foot off the gas. You start prematurely celebrating, and you watch the other team speed past you on the Autobahn as you are caught napping with a flat tire. Doc Rivers has been guilty of more coaching malpractice than anyone in the history of the NBA, and that's saying something. Some of these guys have the Midas touch. Doc has the Saddam touch. Now, you know, the Midas touch, everything you touch turns to gold, right? The Midas touch. With the Saddam touch, everything you touch, you ruin. And that seems to be the way things are going for Doc Rivers' teams in the playoffs. Regular season, it doesn't seem to matter, but in the postseason, it happens time and time again. Doc Rivers has a knack for his teams building up massive leads, and then bye-bye, bye-bye, they go away. I'm going to go back to Towny. Remember Towny, Rob Schneider's character in Waterboy? Remember? Yeah. This is a Waterboy situation. When it comes to Doc Rivers in the postseason, it's, oh, no, we suck again. I'm telling you, it's Rob Schneider's character in that old movie Waterboy. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It makes the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen Celtics championship all the more improbable. Think about it. They overcame Doc Rivers. The Celtics were able to win with this albatross as a coach. That is a stunner. Now, in the second half, the total nuclear reactor meltdown. You know how many players scored baskets for the Sixers in the second half? Field goals? Two. Seth Curry and Joel Embiid. That's it. They were the players to make field goals. Philly was somehow outscored 69-44 in the final 24 minutes. In the fourth quarter alone, it was a 40-19 gap in favor of Atlanta. So the second thing here, as we discussed, while Doc Rivers gets to wear the dunce cap, he's got a really nice dunce cap. He wears it a lot. He can share it with Joel Embiid. Now, some in the Philly media are saying, no, it's not Joel Embiid's fault, blah, 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 blah. And I get it. For the casual fan who didn't watch the game, you're like, oh, Embiid did his job. He had 37 points, 13 rebounds. What do you expect him to do? Right? What do you expect him to do? He's injured. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. That's fine. I watched the game, and here's what I saw. I got a little different perspective than the average schmuck. How about you finish what you start? How about that? I have the same thoughts. It's like a carbon copy of what we talked about with Giannis Antetokounmpo the other night. Milwaukee was in position to beat Brooklyn, and Giannis needed to step his game up in the final minutes. Didn't do it. Didn't have the second gear. Same thing happened here. And I go back to Clint Capella running his own psychic hotline, who made the comment on the TNT, TNT broadcast made a big deal about this. It was a talking point. They were saying how Joel Embiid had debunked the fact that he was fatigued. Remember, Clint Capella, on the scouting report of Joel Embiid, he said he's a guy that you can wear out. He gets fatigued. He doesn't play well. In a nutshell, that's what Clint Capella said. And so what happened? Joel Embiid's running around. He's high-stepping, doing the whole thing, right, and styling and profiling and the whole thing, looking good, feeling right, the whole thing. And they expected, they being Philadelphia, like a typical Doc Rivers coach team, they expected Atlanta to call off the dogs, to wave the white flag, surrender. Hawks didn't do that, and Joel Embiid needed to step on up. Of course, he needed a paper bag because he was suffocating there at the end, and it was bad. It was a belly whopper. Now, just to prove my point that Joel Embiid was the problem here at the end, final 7 minutes and 1 second of this game, Joel Embiid pitched a shutout. He pitched a shutout, held scoreless. He was 0 for 4 from the floor, 0 for 2 from the foul line. Lethargic. Looked like a guy who had no legs. Looked like a guy to me who was, say it with me now, kids, fatigued. Fatigued. To end the game that way, right? It was a prolonged struggle. This was an ordeal. This was an ordeal. It was. My God. What was that? Now, final thought. So the Sixers, they really should consult with Orville Redenbacher. Now, why should they consult with Orville Redenbacher? I'll tell you. Because they have popcorn problems. There are kernels popping up all over the place, and they are problematic. Joel Embiid fades like the sun across the horizon late in games. You better win, and you better be up by 25 with about 10 minutes to go in the game. You're screwed. Even Philadelphia was up by 15 and blew it with Embiid the final 7 minutes. They blew an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter. But you got Embiid, you got Doc Rivers, who suffers brain farts, has no clue how to make adjustments, stop the bleeding. You got a cut. And Doc's over it and says, you know, maybe I'll just look at it and it'll stop bleeding. I'll just kind of give it the look. And he puts his arms in the air. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do? Then you have the curious case of Ben Simmons. We call Ben Simmons the tortoise. Why do we call Ben Simmons the tortoise? Because in big moments, he turtles up. He is a tortoise. Simmons played 20 minutes in the second half and somehow took one shot. He scored 2 points, both from the foul line. He was on the court as essentially a spectator playing the fiddle while Rome burns, or in this case, Philly, burned down. Passive, spiritless, no sense of urgency, no like, hey, I'm an all-star. I better get to the basket. We said this the other day as well. It's not like you expect Ben Simmons to shoot from the outside. He's got a mental block on that. He can't shoot from the outside. But you expect him to at least go to the basket, put some shots up. Didn't do it. Doesn't have the killer instinct. Does not have the killer instinct. Took 14 shots from the foul line, made only 4. Left 10 points at the line. Ben Simmons. Then you got Tobias Harris, another former Clipper. How's that working out? Tobias Harris, Doc Rivers. Good? You happy, Philadelphia? Yeah, got rid of those dead weights. Tobias Harris, in the second half, was 0 for 4 from the floor. He was shut out. Did not score. Keep in mind that Tobias got a $180 million contract from the Philadelphia 76ers to essentially be a waste of space on the court in a massively important playoff game. All right, let's hear from Doc Rivers. I'm sensing that I'll know exactly what Doc is about to say, and we're going to own this, but we're going to come back, and this was not great, but we'll, you know, blah, blah. All right, here's Doc.
Listen, we scored 19 points and gave up 40. So it's on us. It's on all of us. It's on me. It's on the players, and we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game 7.
It's almost like I've heard that with the Clippers. I mean, my God, it's so easy. Doc's been around so long that he just knows, like, in his head, he's got a file. He's like, okay, what do you do when your team blows a 20-point lead at home in a playoff game? I know. You own it. You say, we're going to come back. That's what you do. And the media eats it up. Slobber, slobber, slobber. Right, they eat it up. Pavlov's dogs. Jeez. Oh, my God. Now, did Embiid not talk to the media? I don't think he did. I'm hearing he did not. I don't know. I didn't see any quotes from Embiid after the game. But we do have Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons trying to explain, to rationalize a guy that did not score a field goal did not score in the fourth quarter, only had 2 points in the second half. Here's Ben Simmons talking about what the heck went sideways.
We were up. We had it. I think we just gave it to him. We got too comfortable and didn't play the way we should be playing. Didn't move the ball as much in the second half. Didn't get as many easy shots. And then defensively, too many lapses where we didn't communicate.
Yeah. It's not like you didn't know that was going to possibly happen, right? Going in, no? Wow. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to comment on any of this, it is all available to you at 877-99-ON-FOX, 877-996-6369. If you want to be part of the festivities, you can join the fun. We're also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can chat away, have some fun, knock yourself out on that. So admitting a mild case of neurosis. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Can you step right up in my face so I could take one shot and put you down because you can't even stand up in my face and say a word in my face because you won't stand up? Because I'll take one shot and take you down, baby, because it won't even matter because I will punch you down and I'll make some blood, baby.
Very scared, eh?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We believe in the power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, but he's more than just the call screener. He is the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Komoto.
And live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And right to the phones we go, Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan, but he's a multi-dimensional fan, not just a Seahawks guy. He'll talk about anything, and he's a historian.
And he plays Madden. He plays Madden.
Yeah. You want to play a blind guy in Madden? He'll do that. Roberto, you played him in
You
got
to do what you got to do, man. You got to get W.
Now, if you had lost to Emmett, God. What's going on, Emmett?
You know, just kind of chilling. I was kind of thinking, you know, with this absolute choke by the 76ers here, first of all, Doc Rivers, I think it's like a kiss of death or something. Like, what happened? Like, it was, I turned off the game because it was so bad. No.
That's your first minute. You never turn off a Doc Rivers coach game. No matter how big the lead is, you never turn the game off because it can always turn on a dime.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, maybe the Sixers, you know, it hasn't worked out. I mean, part of it is Doc Rivers and Benson. Maybe you move on and get, like, another shooter and just, you know, build around Joel Embiid.
Well, let me tell you, Blind Emmett, I don't know how good you are at basketball, but you would at least be more aggressive than Ben Simmons. If the Sixers got rid of Ben Simmons and signed Emmett, the blind Seahawk fan from Washington, you would at least go to the basket occasionally, right? You'd bring the heavy artillery. You wouldn't be Mr. Passive Tortoise like Ben Simmons, who turtles up in these big moments.
Yeah, well, I can make a free throw when it's needed. No hack of Emmett needed.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? You think I could beat you? I'm Moneyball Maller. That's my nickname, Moneyball Maller.
Yeah, Moneyball Maller. I don't know. I think we should try and find some video of that hoop.
Your charity stripe Emmett is what you are. That's what you are. Do you shoot underhanded or overhanded? Underhanded, like Rick Barry. Yeah, I understand.
I'm trying to.
You have no idea who that is. Rick Barry is like old for me, and you're like younger, much younger than I am, so you have no idea who that is.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a nickname for Coop with a basketball, and I couldn't think of one. Cut in Coop, I guess.
Listen, Coop's excited. Coop and Roberto are excited because, you know, LeBron's got a big game next month against the Goon Squad, so he's excited about it. Those guys are going to watch that, boy, sit together.
Ooh, speaking of LeBron, did you see his tweet?
Oh, I did. I will address that. LeBron plumbing to the depths of stupidity yet again. I do my homework. I didn't do his homework.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was pretty nice. Yeah. All right, Emmett, how's school going? You done with school? You still in school? What do you got going? It's summertime, right?
I got 1 week left.
1 week left. Holy crap! The last week.
Yeah, it's all you know, kind of because the year's so screwed up because of the COVID. It's all like finals this week, and you know, I'm a junior, and like some of my classes are like senior classes and everything. So I got the, like, I took the final last week, did good on it, so I didn't have to take the second one. So, you know, I'm just kind of
Still
have a couple projects to do.
Next year, your big senior year. Look at that, man. You're right around the corner. That's exciting. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Emmett. Good luck with your studies there, bud. Remember us when you become a big star somewhere. All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. Let's go back to, as a matter of fact, we go to Kevin, actually, in New York. Hello, Kevin. What's going on?
I'm just driving a truck, enjoying the show.
Thank you, Kevin. Where are we headed today, Kevin? Where are we headed?
Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful Altoona, Pennsylvania. And what do you got in that truck? What are you taking there?
Some type of bags.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys don't usually know what's in the back of the truck, right? They don't usually tell you what's back there because they don't want you to steal any of that stuff, right?
A lot of the bills just have numbers on it, but we don't care. We just drive point to point. So
you're like a robot, Kevin. Just put you in the rig and you'll just go. Right? You got the radio on, you're good to go. There's nobody out there, right? There's no traffic right now on the back roads of New York, right?
Not really. Yeah. I like driving at night. That's why I like, and I get to listen to your show. So
well, perfect. There you go. It's a win-win situation, Kevin. That's good. And I'm glad you're listening because the only people we have listening are overnight truck drivers. So I'm glad you guys are listening. Otherwise, there'd be nobody listening.
All that and the drunks.
No, touche. All right. You don't have to point that out, okay? How dare you? All right. So what's on your mind here, Kevin? What you got? You're driving to Altoona. What's on your mind?
I'm looking forward to a Clippers, Phoenix Suns because
I am too.
Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul reunited on the big stage.
Yeah,
and Rondo had told him, "You'll never win a championship, and you got to go through his team to get there." I don't think the Eastern Conference is really going to be much of a roadblock for either team. So, if Rondo wants to stop Chris Paul from ever being a champion.
Well, keep in mind, though, Kevin, that tick, 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 that ticking time bomb is still Chris Paul. I know he's out with the COVID, but he should be back. I mean, he's a fine-tuned professional athlete. He'll be fine. He'll be back probably before Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. So unless the Clippers can win on Friday, then maybe not. Maybe he misses Game 1, which I'd be okay with. I'd be all right with that if he misses Game 1, you know, get his rest up and all that.
You don't get any teams these days that have personal...
Oh, your phone's breaking up, man.
Steak. Oh, you can cut me off.
Okay, I'll cut you off then. But nobody cut you off when you're driving around. Thank you. So Ben Simmons, one of the comments he made, we played a Ben Simmons soundbite, but Ben Simmons was asked about his horrific playoff foul shooting issues as it continues to be a disaster zone for the Sixers guard. Number 25 in your program, but number 700 at the foul line. And he was asked about it. He did say he thinks, he didn't say the word neurosis, but he said he thinks it's mental, which I believe is under the neurosis umbrella. He says, obviously, I got to knock down free throws and step up and do that, blah, blah, blah. But it is what it is. No, it is not what it is. 4 of 14. 4 of 14. Ben Simmons has now missed 45 foul shots in these playoffs, and we're not even at the conference finals. 45 foul shots missed in the postseason for a supposedly an all-star level player.
Poop fest.
Well, there you go. Is Doc giving him pep talks on how to make foul shots? Is that why he keeps missing the foul shots? Man, it's going to be fun to see the Philadelphia media eat alive the Sixers over the next couple of days. I look forward to seeing some of the commentary. Extra spicy hot local sports radio.
Yeah, we'll see how long Doc lasts in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Doc got a free pass with the Clippers. That won't happen in Philly. They'll run his ass out of town. They'll bring back Brett Brown as the coach. They'll get rid of Doc.
Who?
Yeah, Doc will be on TNT next year. That's where Doc will be. That'll be his new team on TNT or ESPN or somewhere like that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we had the caller just a moment ago talking about a Clippers-Suns Western Conference Final.
That's our guy in New York there driving. He's driving to Altoona, PA.
Yeah, we know Phoenix is there, but when will Chris Paul be able to play? He has entered the COVID-19 health and safety protocols, even though he claims he has been vaccinated. But
well, he can still get it. It's very rare, though,
if you can get COVID.
The Yankees had a bunch of guys that got
so his
COVID
status
after they got
is unknown
shots.
For the start of the Western Conference. Listen, even when he's healthy, something happens to this guy.
Let me ask you a question. I'll pretend to be a doctor. If he's had the vaccine and the Suns guys have had the vaccine, and he doesn't. He's asymptomatic. Why does not let him play?
Yeah,
have the Suns guys all had the vaccine? I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, if he's
the whole point about the vaccine, right? Is just so you don't get sick and go on a
listen.
May
we all get sick and not realize we're sick?
Yeah,
I mean that's a blessing, right? Wouldn't you like to? We're all going to get sick at some point if we live long enough. Wouldn't you like to be sick and not realize
it? So, do you
it?
Think the NBA will amend its policy for
Chris
Paul?
Oh, God, no, not the NBA. Please. They'll keep him out longer. If they want to keep him out for the Western Finals, I'm okay with that. You know?
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
All right. Is that it, Eddie?
That's
are we
all.
Done? All right. It is the Ben Maller Show. Let's go back to Charlie in San Antonio. We went to Charlie earlier. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Ben? How you
Charlie,
doing?
I can't approve this credit card, Charlie. I'm sorry. I wanted to approve the credit card.
Oh, my God. It was. You know what? I usually don't call in hour number one because I still have traffic, but I'm like, I didn't want to, you know.
So what was wrong with it? What was wrong with the credit card? You didn't have the proper car? You couldn't run it through the system?
So here's what happened without giving too much away. But so, Coop, you travel a lot, right? You go all over the country, you know, you live in your life. What's the first thing you do with your bank before you leave?
With my bank?
Yeah, before you leave out of state.
If you check the balance?
No,
you let them know you're going to be out of state.
Yeah, because if you don't.
I've never done that.
You've never done
that? Not once. I've done that.
That's a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
They will ding your credit card.
Yeah.
If they start seeing my credit card. No, if you're in California, you never go to Texas. You go to Texas and you start charging things in Texas. They'll be like, that's a red flag.
Like a hotel state. Yeah. Like a hotel state is a huge amount. And so what will happen is your credit card company will be like, they'll decline it, and then they'll send you an alert. Well, if you don't answer your alert, and you're like, hey, run it again, okay, I'm going to run it again, and then what happens? There's a freeze, you know? Ooh.
Well, so I've traveled to many states, and I've never once warned them, and I've never had it blocked.
When we went to France...
Well, you probably have a black...
Hold on, Charlie, I'm telling
you
a story.
It's story time with Eddie, please.
Story time with Eddie, go on.
When we went to France, my wife told the credit card company, we're going to France, and they still froze our card France.
I did it before going out of the country.
Well, Coop, we don't have the finances you have. You know, we have
our
cards aren't made out of metal. You know,
he's got liar money, Coop.
The big question is now, if I do the $20 bill trick, will that work with Charlie, the front desk guy?
I was a bartender. No, it will not.
What would it take to move the needle with Charlie? Well, how would somebody comes into your establishment?
Well,
a tip is
nice, but you know what? Above all else. Just talk to me right. Talk to me with respect.
No, you aren't going to upgrade me if I slide you a $20 bill at the front desk?
I'll upgrade you. Well, it depends if I have the availability.
Right.
But I don't mind doing it. But it really, besides the tip, it's how you come at me. Like, if you come at me, a normal human being, you know, respect, not talking to me crazy, fine. But most people in hotels, they talk to you like the things I've heard at the front desk. You wouldn't say that if we were just walking down the street, you know. But when you do
you sound like Kyrie Irving now. They treat you like a zoo animal at the hotel.
Oh, dude, I hear, you know, but the thing is, as soon as you talk to me in that kind of manner, for sure, I'm not doing anything for you. You can go ahead and pound sand.
Coop, we were talking about this. I went to Vegas and I tried the $20 bill thing to get an upgrade, and
It just depends on availability. If I don't have it, it didn't work.
But I have heard if you're a beautiful looking young lady, it does work more times than a fat old talk show.
I will say this, Ben. So yes. when I started doing the $20 sandwich trick in Las Vegas, yeah. you know, way like, you know, when I turned 21, like 10 plus years ago.
Yeah.
It worked all the time. Every time it worked.
Nice.
It hasn't worked for me in like over 2 years.
Really?
Well, $20 isn't. What am I going to do with $20? I can't even fill up my tank. You
what
know?
Do you mean it's 20 more dollars than you had 2 seconds ago? How many people slide like you a $20 bill when they check into the room?
Charlie's saying inflation, that the guys at the hotel.
Yeah,
need
it's
more
inflation,
money.
Man. Yeah.
All right.
Before I go, Ben, I'm not going to let you get off the hook because you're already building me.
Off the hook. What are you talking about? I mean, you were wrong. Just admit you were wrong. That's it.
I was right. I said I was going to quit on your team for a whole year. What happened?
The Clippers are done. The whole thing, they're over. Hey, they're one win away from the Western Conference
final.
No,
but you're all saying the Clippers are. No one expected the Clippers. If they make it, they're going to go to the Game 7. They'll probably lose. And
yeah. That's how I feel. When Anthony Davis went down with an injury,
you didn't say, the Lakers have house money. They're playing with house money. No, because the Lakers are never playing with house money.
Oh my God, here we go. They're never playing with house money.
It's a great day in San Antonio because Kawhi finally got his comeuppance. And you know what? What's going to happen is the same thing in San Antonio. Next year, he's not going to come back from injury. And Uncle Davis is going to do a little huddle, and they're going to kick rocks and go to Sacramento. Right, or
you know what, Charlie? I'm going to decline your credit card. How about that? I'm declining your credit card. Get out of here. Love you, Ben. Take it easy. All right, take care. Go away. All right, we got the instant trivia, Maller to the third degree. Here's the instant trivia. We'll do an old school NFL one. How old school is it, though? Blank holds the NFL record for the most consecutive games in a season, in a single season, with 100-plus rushing yards. Again, blank holds the NFL record for the most consecutive games in a season of 100-plus rushing yards. That's the instant trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
The Ben Maller Show is scientifically proven to help make time fly by while working the third shift. We have a track record of almost 20 years of nocturnal service. Help support our daily battle against insomnia by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your support. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here's the Insta trivia. Blank holds the NFL record for the most consecutive games in a single season with 100 or more rushing yards. That is the question. What is the answer? The Raider Freak from the Carolinas going with Thurman Thomas as his answer. Jim Otto from Miguel on Fire. Reba McEntire, guessed by Jacob from Japan. I actually met Reba McEntire. She was in this building. There used to be a country music show down the hall. She came in here with her tour bus a long time ago. Mr. Nice Guy is going with Doug Mirabelli as his answer. Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan, says O.J. Simpson. Justin in Cincinnati going with the old New England Patriots running back Kendrick Perkins as his answer there. Dr. Death, Steve Williams from Rob in Vegas. Just Josh is going with John Riggins. Luke, the vending guy, says Reggie Bush and his 2016 season of minus 3 yards. Rob Manford, the spineless weasel, guessed by Jimmy from Maine. Chris in Des Moines, or as Roberto says, Des Moines country, going with Justin Fargus as his selection. Who else do we have? Page down. Fred Taylor from Will in Pennsylvania. Alf the Alien Opiner in Springfield, Mass., just down the street from the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, where Muffet McGraw is enshrined. Going with the original Cardiac Kid, Cardiac Stanley. Oh, I remember. We haven't played that drop in a while. Cardiac Stanley, when he had a heart attack on the air. All right, the answer. Do you have the answer, Eddie?
Yes, it's former Oakland Raider and Nebraska star running back I am hip.
No on both accounts. I am not hip, and no, it's not I am hip. The correct answer, Barry Sanders in 1997 had 14 straight games of 100 or more yards for the Lions, who did not do much of anything that particular year by the end. All right, here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Daloop.
Ben, so Alex Rodriguez replied to a comment on his Instagram Monday telling him to keep the team in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And A-Rod replied, "We will." Do you believe him? And the team I'm referring to is the Timberwolves, of course.
Well, if his lips were moving, I assume they were. No, I do not believe him. A-Rod is a proven liar. He is not trustworthy. He's not. His resume of being a snake is well documented for posterity's sake. I don't need to go through the whole, all the big events. And listen, the first rule of relocation, is to never telegraph your intentions. The oil barons from Oklahoma claimed they were not going to move the Sonics out of Seattle. They did. The guys at Major League Baseball said they wanted to find a way to make the Expos work in Montreal. They're now the Washington Nationals. They moved to D.C. You take the move out of the Baltimore Colts playbook. You say you're going to stay you're going to stay, and then bring in the Mayflower moving vans in the middle of the night, and bye-bye, and you don't announce it, and you're just gone. Next!
In previous Maller monologues, you have said that the Bears need to and will start Justin Fields.
You keep moving the mic, Coop. It's very annoying.
Well, on Monday, Matt Nagy pretty much all but guaranteed that Andy Dalton will start week one.
Yeah.
How many starts does Dalton get?
So this is incredibly short-sighted by the Bears. All right, by Matt Nagy, the coach there, making decisions before either player has had a training camp snap doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What is so hard about having a little competition at the quarterback position? Why is Matt Nagy afraid? I think the answer is he knows that if he does have a competition, that Andy Dalton will not be the quarterback. It's great news for the Rams. The Rams and Bears open up the season. The regular season against each other, week one in L.A. And when Andy Dalton's leg falls off, which might happen in training camp, but either way, it'll happen sooner than later, then they'll go to Nick Foles or Justin Fields. Matt Nagy deserves to be punished with Andy Dalton. And I'm looking like an 0-3 start, and then week four against the Lions, the Bears go to the new quarterback. Next!
A former NFL commissioner, Paul Tagliabue, was interviewed this week when he said that the league's 180 on gambling, being all in on that, he's concerned about someone getting to a quarterback and that resulting in point shaving. Ben, how big of a concern should this be?
This is a bad take by Tagliabue. We called him Tagliabue when he was the commissioner of the NFL. It's easy to shave points in basketball. It is much harder in football. You would need a rogue quarterback who's willing to throw away his entire career. Making millions of dollars to do this. And what Tagliabue and the others don't seem to understand, legalizing gambling and the regulation, there are so many safeguards in place. You know the people that don't want to lose money? The books, the sports books. And anything that is inappropriate on the too much money on one side, they'll cancel, they'll take money off, they'll take the game off the board. All right, how do we do, Koopaloop?
You pass us.
There it is. That's a winner! Whee! Put it on the board!